Guess what, Will?
What's that, Mango?
I've been trying to write a promo for our podcast, Part-Time Genius, but even though we've done over 250 episodes, we don't really talk about murders or cults.
I mean, we did just cover the Illuminati of cheese, so I feel like that makes us pretty edgy. We also solve mysteries like how Chinese is your Chinese food and how do dollar stores make money? And then, of course, can you game a dog show?
So what you're saying is everyone should be listening.
Listen to Part-Time Genius on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you want to level up your marketing and business knowledge, look no further than the Marketing School podcast, hosted by Neil Patel and yours truly, Eric Su. It is the number one marketing podcast on Apple and number 15 on business in the United States. Now, if you want to listen to interesting conversations with operators that have been there, done that, also with other interesting guests, then listen to Marketing School every weekday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As important as choosing the right destination when traveling is choosing the right travel partner.
Gene!
Eugene Fodor!
Gene, was good.
But be careful, because the worst trips result when two partners have two different agendas.
The CIA really need your help, Gene.
Freeze, Americano! Huh?
Gene, run!
Listen to Fodor's Guide to Espionage on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind. My name is Robert Lamb.
And I'm Julie Douglas.
Julie, do you ever just sit at home and you're reading a book, maybe you're watching a little TV, staring out the window.
In my rocking chair.
In your rocking chair, and you start feeling a little warm. And you suddenly think, what if I burst into flames right now? What if I spontaneously combusted?
I actually have had these thoughts before, and not necessarily in a rocking chair, but it's one of those...
A rocking chair does seem like the appropriate place to spontaneously
combust. It does, and you guys will all see why by the end of this podcast, why a rocking chair really fits well into this scenario. This is one of those things. I've got an irrational fear of spontaneous fire in general, and I remember seeing...
Which is a good thing to be afraid of.
Yeah, toasters and, you name it. But I remember seeing pictures of this spontaneous human combustion when I was a teenager and being like, wow, this is awful and wonderful all at the same time.
I had a similar experience with it because I feel like I either saw it on Unsolved Mysteries, which did a great job about creeping me out or enthralling me about various paranormal things.
Yes.
Because Robert Stack's voice was so, authoritative. No matter what he's talking about, aliens or people burning up. And then also, there was a little book I got in the checkout line at a grocery store. Mm-hmm. For some reason,
Avoid a human spontaneous combustion.
It was just a condensed tome of all sorts of paranormal, scary things.
I had something like that. It was like an oddities thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it had, of course, human spontaneous combustion, which is completely odd. It's a weird thing.
It is weird.
And it's back in the news, at least it has been this fall. In September of 2011, an Irish coroner declared that the death of one Michael Flaherty was caused by spontaneous human combustion. And that was actually the first instance of it in Ireland.
I was reading the articles about this, and none of the articles that I read were actually poking fun of the situation.
Mm-hmm.
But there is sort of a sense of the guy saying, I don't know what it is, I guess it's spontaneous human combustion. It's kind of like saying, we don't know who the murderer is, but I suspect it was magic.
Because it was either human spontaneous combustion or it was an elf.
Yeah.
Like that. I don't know. That's not very Irish, but. I totally get what you're saying. All those articles seem to be him throwing his hands up in the air and saying, okay.
What can you do?
It's got to be human combustion. So
now, are you about to share more about this particular story?
Well, I was just going to say that it's probably worth mentioning that it was so odd to the coroner because, you know, here he has a 76-year-old man found in his home, and the damage was to his body, which was totally burned, the ceiling above him and the floor beneath him. And there was no other evidence of a fire. There was no foul play. There was a fire source, but it was a fireplace in the next room. So that's why the coroner perhaps just threw up his hands and said, ah, spontaneous human combustion.
Oh. Well, I ran across another story from 2011.
Mm-hmm.
And this one was out of San Francisco and was reported by CBS 5. Their lead is great. It's like, a man was hospitalized Wednesday evening with life-threatening third-degree burns. All right. Well, I mean, that's not funny, but you know.
No.
After somehow catching fire inside a San Francisco porn store, authorities told CBS 5. So basically, police officers were on the street and they saw a flaming man come run out of the shop, suddenly. And there were firefighters like a block away, so they were able to come over and extinguish the flames. But, here's another line from the article. It said, arson investigators said it was not exactly clear how the man caught fire. Police indicated he had apparently been watching videos in a private booth at the adult arcade when the fire ignited.
Well, that is some powerful porn.
Yeah.
Perhaps, or as we have found out before, there's very rare instances of pyromaniacs having to start fires in order to reach a sexual climax.
Oh, okay.
So maybe he was like, you know, the one out of, I don't know, 2 million people that needs to do that.
So he's like, sexy firefighter film, check. Oily rags and a torch, check.
Yes.
I'm ready to go. And then he set himself off.
Yeah. That or really powerful porn.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. Or spontaneous human combustion really does exist. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Does it? Big question mark.
Yeah. And before we, you know, we've started off with these cases, if you will, of alleged spontaneous human combustion. But now we're going to take a step back and we're going to look at spontaneous combustion.
Yeah.
Can it happen? Yes. Spontaneous
outside
combustion outside of humans definitely occurs.
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, our senior video producer, Roxanne, sent us a really interesting article about pistachios.
Oh, yes.
And apparently they will spontaneous combust at the drop of a hat because, especially when they're packed really tightly for shipping, because they have to remain cool and dry. But because they have such a large fat content, it makes them really flammable. So when they're packed that densely, they can actually begin to heat themselves. You know, the oil, the pistachio oil, will start to self-heat, causing spontaneous human combustion. So this has really like struck fear into the heart of pistachio shippers.
Yeah, I had no idea. Pistachios were always like a Christmas time sort of treat in my household, and I never considered the possibility that they might explode. But
yeah,
in a previous podcast, I was mentioning how I wasn't sure of what I was going to get my Uncle Craig for Christmas, because I drew his name. But here are two things to consider. A, he has an irrational fear of unexploded ordnance.
Okay.
And lives in the U.S., so it's like it's not like he lives in Bosnia or
this is good
or South Asia or anything. About the only thing on his wish list that I'm thinking about getting is mixed nuts in the shell. So I'm thinking a tightly packed bag of pistachios in the shell, with a copy of that article Roxanne sent us.
Well, just to throw him into full-blown PTSD, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, no, just to...
Happy holidays!
You make it sound meaner than it is, but...
Well, okay, yeah. I guess that you are maybe trying to educate him slash scare him.
It would be a learning slash snack experience.
And we know that fear has a really important role in learning, right?
Yeah.
So there you go. You don't have to get me a present this year, so don't worry about that. But there are other instances, piles of hay or straw, right?
Yes, this is a big one.
Yeah, yeah, they've been known to spontaneously combust when they decompose. So the bacteria inside them orchestrates that decomposition process, and that can generate enough heat to kindle a spark, and then poof, which I actually saw the other day. My neighbor had a compost pile that was smoking.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. And I was like, hey, heads up. And they were like, hey, that's pretty normal. And I was like, all right. So just checking, you know, I didn't want my neighbor's house to burn down because of a pile of leaves. And then, of course, the pile of oily rags, which you have mentioned.
Yeah. And you'll see this warning on various like varnishes and what have you, where they'll say like, don't leave don't leave the oil rags unattended after you do this, because it may set fire to itself.
Yeah, because what we're talking about here is that oxygen is meeting an inflammatory agent, and then there has to be a spark, right, which sometimes can happen naturally. Like, for instance, the pile of rags.
You can't start a fire. You can't start a fire without a spark. Is that right? Is that what the boss said? Can't start a fire without a spark.
Yes.
Okay, good.
He was right.
I was just fact checking my basic physics with the boss there.
Well, yeah, you have to. So when we do talk about spontaneous human combustion, what really are we talking about?
Well, it's kind of like that case in, not so much the case with the dude running flaming out of the adult store, because that's more just like a dude on fire. Spontaneous human combustion, as we typically encounter it, we're talking somebody has been burnt down, like, to the bone or through the bones.
Right.
But then maybe like an entire arm will be just laying there on the floor next to them.
Yeah, it was identified as early as 1825, or the alleged phenomenon, by a Dr. Trail, who claimed he had recently discovered a peculiar kind of oil in the human blood, which is highly inflammable. This oil is chiefly observed in the blood of persons who have been addicted to drinking ardent spirits. It is probably that this discovery may tend to elucidate the hitherto inexplicable... phenomenon of the spontaneous combustion of human bodies. So even back in the day, they were seeing these instances that were very odd. Again, there are certain hallmarks that we'll talk about that make people quite quizzical.
Right. It'll be someone like they're burned in their rocking chair and the chair's still there.
Yeah.
But their bones were incinerated.
Right. Which is weird, because you've got a wooden chair that is not affected at all.
Right. The room will be fine. The chair or the bed will be fine. There'll be like a leg or an arm that isn't burnt. And if you were just to open the door to all sorts of science fiction possibilities, it looks like someone was like blasted with a sci-fi ray gun or a heat gun or something, because it just cores right through them.
Aliens again.
But we know it's not that.
Visiting the elderly.
So the question arises, what could be going on? And there are various theories. And a number of these theories do relate to some of these phenomena we were talking about. For instance, methane. Methane building up inside the intestines and then ignited by enzymes.
Right.
But what's the problem with that?
The problem is that, as you had said before, this is largely the parts of the body that were largely affected are the skin and the bones and not the internal organs. So that would clue us into an external source of the fire, rather than internal.
Yeah. And again, just to give you an idea of like what it takes to incinerate a body, because most of the body is not flammable. I mean, that's the thing. We're so much water.
We are not pistachios.
Yeah, yeah. There's not a lot in us that can actually go up in flames. And if you even in like a crematoria, the temperatures are generally like 700 to 1,000 centigrade, and that doesn't even destroy the bones. Mm-hmm. So some of these other theories, static electricity, that if you were walking around your carpeted home, I guess we're just. Like if you didn't leave and you had socks on, and you were just walking around in circles and in circles and in circles, you could eventually build up enough of a static charge to incinerate your body.
Which just seems silly. So, I mean, you don't need to go out and like build a hat out of like, dryer sheets.
Right.
It just seems a little bit silly, yes?
Yeah.
And then there's a sort of an extrapolation of this by a guy named Larry Arnold, who is a self-proclaimed expert on the subject and author of Ablaze. And he claims that there's a new subatomic particle called the pyrotron that has the power to ignite the body.
Oh, yeah. But of course, none of that is at all proven.
It's right. Kind of that's idea. The problem with that.
I mean, it is kind of interesting. It kind of leads into the idea, the whole E equals MC squared thing about matter and energy. And well, what if some or all of the matter in our body were transferred into energy, right? Mm-hmm. Of course, the problem with that, and this is from Dr. Stephen Novella, who's a Yale neurologist and founder of the New England Skeptic Society. He points out that the mass of a single person, if entirely converted to energy, would be much more than a few hydrogen bombs. So,
right.
So even if there was some sort of situation with matter transferred into energy inside the human body, it would have to be just a minute amount of mass, like a very minimum amount.
Well, there's no process really that could kickstart this in the first place. I mean, there's not even a theory for this. So
it's just kind of a, hey, maybe it's this particle.
But if it were to happen, your point would be that we are basically a bunch of walking hydrogen bombs, right, ready to go off.
Right. If there were some sort of process to actually kick that into motion. Yeah.
Right. And then you also have to consider that kids playing with methane, and when I say methane, I mean farts and lighters. Uh-huh. Like you would see so many more instances of spontaneous human combustion among 12-year-old kids.
And remember, not everybody produces large quantities of methane. Remember our NASA, one of our podcasts, maybe it was the werewolf theory. We're talking about the ideal human body to go into space.
Right.
And NASA found that there are certain individuals that produce much less methane and some individuals who produce no methane.
Right. Would fly in the face of the whole methane building up in your intestines theory, right? But there is one theory that seems to hold true, at least in terms of explaining how someone might burn the way that they do with their extremities intact and with the rest of the room completely intact.
Ah, you're talking about the wick theory, I believe.
Yes.
Yeah. This is one of the more interesting theories, and definitely more interesting than things like balls of lightning or aliens or psychic phenomena. And this is basically the idea that the human body can, under certain circumstances, be like a big fat candle.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, think of a candle. The wax ignites the wick and keeps it burning, right? Because it's got the fat, and that fat continues to allow the candle to burn very slowly. So, essentially, the human body could do the same thing.
Yeah, and there was BBC sponsored an experiment in 98, and it was pretty great when I found this. Like, normally I would not be like, hey, there's a study from 98 and be proud of it.
Right.
But it's a pretty cool experiment they put together, and if you look it up online, it's like still like there. I don't understand how some websites do their updates, because there are parts of the BBC website that have never changed. Like, they're still this ancient web design, and it's pretty awesome because you feel like you're actually going back in time when you look at these. So anyway, this involved this guy, Dr. John DeHaan of California Criminalistic Institute.
Mm-hmm.
And they did what anyone would do when testing out the wick theory. They used a pig in a blanket, by which I don't mean a tasty hot dog or vegan hot dog wrapped in some dough.
A pig in a blanket.
Literally, it was a dead pig in a blanket, yeah.
Yeah. Why did they use pig? Because I thought this was really interesting. I mean, they obviously, it's something that's much more ethical than using human, right?
Right. That was the number one. Mm-hmm. They couldn't get the okay from the BBC to burn any actual people.
Right.
But also, I believe it has to do with like the amount of fat.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe comparable to a human.
Yeah, comparable, a human that catches on fire, and here's a pig, more or less.
Okay.
So they wrapped this dead pig in a blanket, and then a small amount of petrol was poured on it, gasoline.
Mm-hmm.
After 5 hours of continuous burning, they found that the bones were, in fact, destroyed. And Dr. DeHaan said, the sort of damage here is exactly the same as that from supposed spontaneous human combustion.
Okay. Yeah. So just like the candle, like a tallow or candle wax, it allowed the burning to happen in a consistent way over a matter of hours.
Consistently, slowly, but not in a way that's going to burn the rest of the house down, not in a way that's going to necessarily gather a lot of attention.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it also explains why only part of the body, the part that is rich in fat, burns away while the rest stays intact.
Yeah.
All right. So what do all of these cases have in common?
Well,
did they all know each other?
They did not. And they were not all huge drinkers, right?
That throws the special human oil theory out the
window. Exactly. The victim is almost always completely consumed, usually inside his or her home.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So it usually happens in someone's home. A sweet, smoky smell usually accompanies the incident.
Yeah. It's like barbecue.
I was going to, yes. That, I mean, it's a little distasteful, but yes, like barbecue.
Yeah.
And then the extremities often stay intact, which we've talked about. So the head and torso may be completely charred, but the hands, feet, and legs are left unburned. And that's what you see on some of those iconic photos, someone's shoes with smoke coming out of them. There are no other signs of fire in the room other than a greasy residue sometimes left on furniture and walls. Okay. And not all spontaneous human combustion victims simply burst into flame. Some develop strange burns on their body, which have no obvious source, or they emanate smoke from their body when no fire is actually present.
Mm-hmm.
Should be a little bit weird to look down at your arm and see, smoke curling up, right?
Yeah.
So that's what they all share in common, and that is why it has been such a interesting subject for a lot of people because those are weird things, right?
Right.
But I do think that the wick theory and the pig in the blanket experiments actually helped to support that.
And it's also key to note here that throwing with this pig in the blanket idea is the notion that it's probably not spontaneous.
Right.
The spontaneous is just sort of, I mean, it's kind of like, well, we don't know what the cause is, so it must be magic.
Right.
Kind of a deal. Where in reality, there are a number of things in any given household that could potentially set something ablaze.
Right. At issue here, the heart of the matter really is it coming from an external source or is it coming from an internal source? And
right.
obviously, as we've kind of discussed, today, it's not coming from inside. There's no pyrotron really that's igniting us. Many of the cases have had victims who were smoking, mm-hmm. and a good amount of them had been drinking as well.
Okay.
So it stands to reason that they fell asleep while smoking. The embers fell on them, ignited their clothes, and then poof, they become a human candle. So that's not all of them explained away in such a neat fashion, but a good many of them share that sort of commonality.
Right, and if the individual is elderly, as a number of cases are, I mean,
infirm
in some way. I mean, you can more easily imagine that happening, where they're smoking or whatever, they catch their spills on fire, and stop, drop, and roll is not necessarily as easily achieved.
Yeah. So, I mean, you can see when you lay it out that way, you can see that it's pretty obvious that it probably is coming from an external source. And even in the case of the man, the 76-year-old man who had a fire in the next room, but no fire source where he was sitting and where he died, it's very possible that he could have gotten up, stoked the fire, and somehow ignited a piece of his clothing without even knowing, sat back down. I mean, it's a little bit hard to explain any of these away, but, to me, it seems a little bit more, at least practical to look at it more as an external phenomenon.
Yeah.
And I just keep coming back to that, right? It's gotta be some sort of external thing. And in fact, we recently circulated in the office something called an IA, which is our initial approach for when we try to tackle a subject.
Yeah, it's like, hey, I'm writing an article about such and such. Here's what I'm thinking. Do you guys have any other tidbits to share?
Yeah, pile it on.
Yeah.
And so I know I'm sharing the secret sauce here of what we do, but I'm telling you because one of the things that went out, one of the IAs was, hey, what were some of the craziest headlines of 2011? Because we're going to do some sort of roundup article about that. And one of them that made the list, or actually I don't know if it's made the list, but was put out there was woman's face ignites during standard operating procedure that she was having. I think she was having maybe some moles removed or something. Uh-huh. So what happens basically because they're using so many instruments in the operating room now that have, electricity that they're, something ignites. Unfortunately, it was this woman's face and it was pretty awful to have to go in for something like that and come out pretty burned. But again, here's another case where fire happens, and you usually have to have a source for the ignition, right?
Right, like the boss said. So there you go.
Case closed.
Yeah. Well, hey, speaking of spontaneous combustion, I think I see the robot coming over here with a smoking piece of listener mail.
Hello, Arnold.
All right, so here we hear from Jim. And Jim writes in and says, I just finished your fire podcast. So he's talking about the Pyromania podcast that came out a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
He says, I don't have any feelings about fire that are beyond what I would consider the norm. My most frequent interaction with fire was as a Boy Scout, which Robert mentioned too. There was something very alluring about it. It wasn't just the flame itself, but our ability to master it through the prep work in gathering materials, building the fire, lighting it, and finally putting it out. It was always a goal to build a fire without using newspapers or other fast starters. We were even successful with non-match techniques, such as steel matches. I've never tried the bow or other pre-match techniques, which, of course, the ones you see in all the movies where they're the little bow, the twine, which I hear are very challenging. By the way, we never peed on the fire. It really stinks up the place. which, as we mentioned before, the alchemists know the smell. We used to know the smell
very
of burning
familiar with it.
Urine if they were trying to turn into gold.
Mm-hmm.
After scouts, I didn't have much direct contact with fire. A few years ago, my son tried scouting, too. One of the first skills the boys learn is fire safety control. We built a few fires, and the sight, sounds, and smell of a wooden campfire brought back all kinds of memories. You did mention fire in Frankenstein. I only mentioned it because I caught part of Young Frankenstein on cable this weekend. And, of course, in the films, Frankenstein is afraid of fire.
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's one of the really cool things about something like Boy Scouts, you know, is that it gets kids, even kids that are maybe part of a more urban environment, gets them out there with fire. Sure, playing with it, a certain amount of playing with fire is inevitable in that situation, but you're also learning the basic control of it and how to use it responsibly. And indeed, some techniques to start it beyond merely throwing some fire on some lighter fluid.
Indeed. I'm sure that's exactly what I was trying to do when I was burning ants with magnifying
glass.
Yeah,
you just, if you'd been in Scouts, then how many ant lives would have been saved?
It's hard to say.
Countless. So, hey, if you have anything you would like to share with us, be it your own history with fire, your own, if you have any personal experience with spontaneous human combustion, do tell. We would love to hear about that. Or if we left out any harebrained theories, you can find us on Facebook. We are Stuff to Blow the Mind on there. And you can find us on Twitter, where our handle is Blow the Mind.
And you can also send us an email at blowthemind@howstuffworks.com.
Be sure to check out our new video podcast, Stuff from the Future. Join How Stuff Works staff as we explore the most promising and perplexing possibilities of tomorrow.
Guess what, Will?
What's that, Mango?
I've been trying to write a promo for our podcast, Part-Time Genius, but even though we've done over 250 episodes, we don't really talk about murders or cults.
I mean, we did just cover the Illuminati of cheese, so I feel like that makes us pretty edgy. We also solve mysteries like how Chinese is your Chinese food and how do dollar stores make money? And then, of course, can you game a dog show?
So what you're saying is everyone should be listening.
Listen to Part-Time Genius on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you want to level up your marketing and business knowledge, look no further than the Marketing School podcast, hosted by Neil Patel and yours truly, Eric Su. It is the number one marketing podcast on Apple and number 15 on business in the United States. Now, if you want to listen to interesting conversations with operators that have been there, done that, also with other interesting guests, then listen to Marketing School every weekday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As important as choosing the right destination when traveling is choosing the right travel partner.
Gene!
Eugene Fodor!
Gene, what's good?
But be careful, because the worst trips result when two partners have two different agendas.
The CIA really need your help, Gene.
Freeze, Americano!
Gene, run!
Listen to Fodor's Guide to Espionage on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.